Welcome to the Mindset for Runners podcast, helping you to access and unlock your true potential as an athlete.
Hey, it's Rob here. Welcome to this episode of the podcast. I know it's been a little while between podcasts, but here I am. A special shout out to all the new listeners. Got a lot of new listeners over the summer. I just wanted to welcome them and, of course, welcome everybody back to Mindset for Runners. This podcast has been a long time coming. I haven't really been sure how to actually deliver it. But with the help of a great mate of mine, Pete Davies, who's an expert filmmaker in the UK, he's helped me to really gather my thoughts into this one central theme. And the central theme I'm going to explore over this podcast is, why do I run? And what does running give me in my life? Now, I know you may have heard these concepts before, but I want to give you the background of where this concept actually came from. Last year, I was preparing for a multi-day run across the state of New South Wales. So 1,200 kilometres in 12 days, raising money for the burns unit at the Children's Hospital at Westmead. I'm a professional firefighter, I have been for 24 years, and this is a charity that's very, very close to my heart. And we had everything in place. When I say we, I mean the team. I had a huge team around me. We'd built all of this infrastructure around how this run was going to happen, through logistics, through accommodation, community engagement, sponsorships we had on board from so many wonderful companies and people giving their time, like crew members coming up, massage therapists. We had accommodation that had been provided for us, partnerships that had been provided for us, and just this amazing team, including media team and social media and all this amazing thing. And then in July, I got injured and the whole machine started to fall apart. So the pain that I got in my right hip area, I probably did what most of the runners on this podcast listen to it. You just kind of hope it goes away and you keep on training, or maybe you back off a bit for a few days and start to, you know, maybe get massage or start to see your physio or someone. And the pain worsened. And then I had a few weeks off and then the pain worsened. And then as a deadline for our race was coming nearer, we needed to make a decision. And that decision was based on two things, MRI and a trip to a sports physician in Sydney. And those two things confirmed that I was quite badly injured. I had six different injuries that were going on in my hips around the area, and the decision was made to pull the pin on the race across New South Wales. Now, that was a decision I took very heavily, as you may have heard if you've talked to me or if you've heard in a previous episode. Having said that, in the lead up, we did do a race across the ACT, which the team and I raised $17,767 for the burns unit. So thank you to everybody who listens, who donated to that cause. That was a massive amount of money we were able to raise. So what happened next? We had to unpack all the race across New South Wales, basically contact all the sponsors, the time wasn't going to happen, all the partners, all the people that had given their time, their money, or their expertise to help support me and us to make this happen. And we had to break it all down, and it didn't happen. So that was a heavy thing for me to actually deal with in my life. And from there, what I started to become focused on was, let's rehab this injury and get straight back into it, right? So I worked with an amazing team, physio, with Mick Baines and Pete Naseby from South Coast Health Hub in Wollongong, were incredible. Got me my strength program and rehab program down to the T, and I was just absolutely smashing it in the gym. I'd put on a lot of muscle and weight in the areas to really to boost them up and to get ready to run again. We had a 24-week plan for return to the race. I had massage therapist Brennan Johnson in Kiama, and I had so many things in place for my rehabilitation. And then slowly, I started to run and the pain was still there. Now, we're talking about 3 to 4 months later. So I stopped the running again and concentrated on the rehab, which I thought was the right thing to do, and I still do. And then the pain continued and it continued and it continued. And then after Christmas, I got sick, quite badly sick, and ended up sick for around 2 months, and I lost 11 kilos. Now, as you know me, I think the highest I've ever weighed in my life is 73 kilos. So yeah, I dropped down to the low 60s, and from there, I was quite sick, so I wasn't sleeping and I wasn't eating, and I lost a lot of weight. And with that, I guess everything kind of spiraled downward for me. I wasn't running, I wasn't eating, and I wasn't sleeping. So those three things culminated in a really hard time of my life. So the reason I'm doing this podcast today is I want to help you through what I've learned over these past 8 months of when the greatest joy in my life, well, I guess that's a bit of an exaggeration, when running was taken away from me. And what have I learned in those 8 months about what running gives me? Because sometimes you need something, and I wish it wasn't the case for me. I'll say it, speak personally. Sometimes I need something taken away from me before I fully appreciate it. And that's why I work so hard in appreciation and gratitude in life, because I don't want to have to lose something to really appreciate it. And running was one of those things that I've never really understood how important it was to me until it was taken away or I couldn't do it. So this podcast is an exploration of all of those central themes around what do I run, what does it give me, and I do that so hopefully you can pull a couple of nuggets out that you're like, oh, that's for me too, but I didn't realize that. But now you said that, I get it. That's what it is. So this podcast is not an outcome-based podcast. So I'm not looking for answers or support or anything from anything I'm saying. You might find yourself on this podcast going, oh, for goodness sake, Rob, just take up cycling or take up swimming. Just replace running with something else. And look, I know that's probably sound advice, but I hate to break it to you, but most of the people that you've ever given advice to in your life have never done anything with it, because if you're going to give advice, the best thing you can do is meet somebody where they're at first and really take the time to understand them. Spend 90% of your time understanding them, where they're at, and then 10% of the time on the solution. Right, off my soapbox, let's have a look at it. So I'm going to just go through a series of points of what I've learned, and hopefully you can relate. And And really, what do I want for you out of this? To build your solid why around your running. This can be quite a cliche term now in sports psychology, running, know your why and all that kind of stuff. And I guess to me, I've kind of resisted it because sometimes it can be thrown around and people have sometimes these huge, beautiful, big whys around their running. But I think for you, if you can just understand the meaning that running has in your life and maybe the purpose that it gives you, and start from there, you can build a solid understanding and really value it. So it's those days that it'll help you say, no, this is important to me. I know it's time away from my family, but I know that I need it because of these reasons. I couldn't articulate it, but these last 8 months have really helped me develop it further. Right, I'm just going to start and in a bit of a shotgun approach and just throw these things out and talk about to each point a little bit. Life structure. Now, running gives me life structure because I would put my running my running sessions into my calendar as a priority, because it is a priority for me. Now, that might mean I'm up at 4:30 so that the running session is finished before the kids wake up and I can do breakfast and get them off to school before work. That might mean I do it when they're in bed, or I might do them on a weekend when, you know, but I'd work around. It gave me structure in my life. When I wasn't running, that wasn't there. Now, there's a really interesting theory. I just escaped my mind. I forget what it's called. It could be Parkinson's law, if I remember correctly. And basically that says the task will take the time that it's that you've given that task to take. So if you, for example, have to do a podcast episode and you say, oh, it's going to take me 2 months, you will fill that 2 months. You'll plan it. You will put it all out in your timeline and 2 months take. But if you say, I've got to do this podcast episode in 1 hour, you will fill that a lot of time. So the reason I say that is when I didn't have this structure in my life, everything for me started to take longer. And when things took longer for me to do, I stopped being as efficient and I started overthinking things. So instead of getting things done, so I was like, I'm up at 4:30, I'm running, I'm home, I'm going to do my reflection time, or I'm going to do my work with my one-on-one clients, or I'm going to work on my course, or whatever I do in my morning, whatever I had scheduled for in the morning. And it was like, boom, 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 it was done. But as soon as the running wasn't there, I wasn't getting out of bed and I was either sleeping in or I was half-assing my rehab that I was supposed to do in the morning, and things started to take longer. Now with that, and I hope you can follow this thread, with that, I started to lose a little bit of my edge, right? So things would take longer. I wasn't making decisions as quickly, and I wasn't as confident in my decision making. So I'd make a decision, then I'd double guess it, second guess it. And all of this was flowing back from my life structure, because my sessions for what was so important for me, it wasn't structuring my life. And I'm wondering if you can relate to this. I'm going to keep on moving through these things. I've got a lot of points. And like I said, there's no actual structure to this, so I'm just going to keep on going. Purpose. For me, I know I'm at my best when I am going after a big goal, something that something that just feels out of reach. So my last goal was to run across New South Wales, right? That right now feels completely impossible. But even at the time, I was like, I don't know whether I'm going to be able to pull this off, but I'm pretty sure if I get myself into the best possible shape I can, I'm pretty sure that I can get this, but I still don't know. That's where I'm at my best. Going after a 100-miler, going after a faster 100-miler, going after a 150-mile race, going after a 150-mile race a little bit faster than I've ever done before, trying to win 150-mile, right? This is when I'm at my best. And yes, I know there's a point where maybe this is going to end, but that's when Rob is at his best. And that got taken away from me. So, and again, this is the point where you say, Rob, just pick another goal for goodness sake. Yes, you're right. And that was taken away from me. And all of a sudden I was like, well, I don't need to get out of bed at 4:30. So I kind of lost that drive to go after that thing. Again, this is not an outcome based. This is an exploration based podcast where I'm trying to share this stuff with you. Right. So maybe you know that about yourself, where if you're going for that first 10K or going for that first marathon, and there's like that balance, and Andrew Huberman says, go for that 80% likely that you're going to get it, but 20% likely that you might fail. And that's kind of that edge around where you want to set your goals. And for me, I know that rang true. So I no longer had that, and I was struggling to find it in different areas of my life, in my career, in the business I'm starting, and all of these other places. So I wonder if you can relate to that one as well. So that had a big effect on my, I guess, motivation and drive. My early morning run. So when I'm in my training block, I run every day, and a lot of the times it's double. So I'll do a easy run in the morning, then a workout in the afternoon, maybe two or three times a week, something like that. And the easy run might just be 5Ks, or it might be 10Ks, really easy. But for me, you know what I love is that morning run when it's like the alarm's off at 4:30 and somehow your legs just swing out of bed, and before you don't have to get yourself out of bed. That's the feeling that I missed over this last 8 months. That automatic, it's not even like, let's get after it. There's none of that. It's just a quiet, you're out of bed, I'm down the stairs, and I'm out the door. And it's just a quiet confidence. There's no question. There's no second guessing. There's no rah-rah. It just happens. And then it's dark, and you're on the street, and before you know it, you're feeling so good. You're in your local neighborhood, and it feels like it's just you and you own the world and there's no one else. Or maybe there's that person that you always see, that real early bird, they're walking their dog and they're always there. And it's like you have a little connection because it's just you two and the world. And I missed that. I didn't get that. And I ran this morning. So just so you know, the last 2 weeks, I've just started to come back to running. And I ran this morning, and I ran the route that I used to run every morning with my eyes closed. And they've built all these new houses, and they've knocked down the old houses and built new. There's all these changes that I've seen. And I was like, wow, all this has happened, and I missed it. And I missed that morning time, if you know what I mean. It's that real solitude of just feeling. And it's not like, oh, everyone else is asleep and I'm getting after it. That's not really how I think. It might be how you think, it's fine, but it's just that special time for me. That's what I miss. And with that comes those endorphins. So what are endorphins? They're chemicals or hormones in your body. But what do they do is they reduce pain and they help you with motivation and with good feelings and with coping, right? Endorphins can sometimes last, for me, for a couple of hours, maybe even half a day after a run. And these take me through a day and they help me cope. They help me make decisions confidently and they help me feel good about myself. And again, these were taken off me. And I use that word just to make a little bit of drama around it. So it's like the rug was pulled out from under me. And I had this thing in my life for so many years that I didn't understand. And all of a sudden, I wasn't getting that good feeling in my body. I wasn't getting that coping. It wasn't happening. And so you can hear what would be the opposite of those things. I wasn't feeling good and I wasn't coping. So that was something I realized when I started to put all this together. Right, focus. For me, again, I'm at my best when I set this goal that's right on the edge of can I do it or can I not, and I focus on it. So many great sports psychologists, and this is what Emma Murray taught me, Emma Murray, the mindset guru from Melbourne. She said, you've only got one focus, Rob, so be careful where you put it. And I really latched onto that when she said that to me, because I love having a focus, and my main focus, so my values in life are my family, my health, and my running, and then business career after that. So to have that focus taken away from me, again, it's that central theme in my life. It's like I'm going after this race this year, or these two races this year. That's what I'm focusing on. Here's all my sessions that are getting structured towards that. And then everything kind of got mapped out around that. And then the focus was taken away. It's like, oh, you're no longer going to run across the state. And I don't think you're going to be able to do it next year. So we're looking at 2025. Personally, I struggle to think that far ahead, let alone be motivated to train for something that's, you know, 12, 15 months away. And I was trying, and I'll show you how I was trying to overcome this. I was picking races from the calendar and right. Yeah, I'm going to focus on that. And it might have been a 100-mile race. And I'd gone from running 150 Ks a week to zero. But I was trying to put these things into my timeline to kickstart that focus and that dream big. And I wasn't even able to run 5K without being in like 6 out of 10 pain, which is not good. You should stop then. If you're in 6 out of 10 pain, if you're in 4 out of 10 pain, you shouldn't be running. So I was trying to kickstart and jumpstart that focus by putting these goals in, and then I was becoming more and more disappointed. I was like, I can't do that race in May. I can't do that race in June. I'm not even close to building my base yet. I've lost all this weight. I've lost all the muscle that I've put on in my rehab. It's all gone. And I'm trying to jumpstart my focus and dreaming big for a 100-mile race less than X months away. So that focus is what was taken away over those times as well, which is tremendously important to me in my life. Self-improvement, so I am absolutely committed, and it's one of the driving forces in my life is to consistently improve myself to be a better father, better husband, and a better mentor and a leader. So that I felt that drop in confidence, that drop almost like I was going backwards, and I can still feel that now. I felt my edge drop. I felt like I wasn't improving. And I was reading all the wire stuff. I was doing all the journaling. I was doing the breath work and all the things. But I still felt as though because I wasn't running, I wasn't getting this self-improvement. And again, this is probably one of those points where you're like, oh, for goodness sake, Rob, I'm sure you'll get other areas of life and, you know, get yourself out of the gutter. Yeah, you're right. But that's not what this is about. Conversation. So I guess you can relate to this. When you're injured and you're injured for a long time, it starts to become a lot of your conversations. So people, oh, how are you going? Yeah, you're back running it. Oh, not yet. Okay, how's the injury? And then you find yourself saying the same story again. And this is no judgment to anybody else. This is just what happens. You tell the same story again, and then you tell the same story again. And then you see that person a week later. Oh, hey, I'm still not running again. Oh, it's all right. Hopefully you're back soon. Yeah, hopefully back. And then you're reinforcing it to yourself over and over again that there's this thing that I want to do, but I'm not doing it because this injury is taking longer than I think it should to actually heal. And that when you just tell that story over and over and over and over to people, and then sometimes you see them 6 weeks or 2-3 months later, and you're still telling that same story. That had a bit of an effect on me, and I was actually quite aware of one time I walked away from the conversation and I realized that I'd made my injury seem worse than it was. And I picked myself up and I was like, I've almost talked myself into having this excuse now. And it was a really poignant memory for me because I'm like, why did I just, you know, it was an exaggeration of the injury. And still, you know, was I trying to comfort myself? Or it was almost like I'd fallen into that victim part of me that like wants to feel like there's no hope or something like that. So the conversation becomes all centered around your injury rather than your training and your next goal and what you're going for and all those kind of positive conversations that I just value so much. Confidence, I think I've mentioned it a few times, definitely affects my confidence not running for all those reasons that we talked about. The feeling good, feel like you're moving forwards. Let's talk about that. Feeling like you're actually making progress, right? Progress towards an outcome or a goal is just the way we are wired as humans. I guess not everybody, but most of us, you know, back from our caveman days where we're focused on finding the berry or the right plant or the cave or I'm simplifying this, or the animal to hunt and kill. It's like how we're wired. Let's focus on that, and I'm going to feel good if I'm making progress, and if I drop off and I'm not making progress, I'm going to feel bad and try and get back onto the track. So with a loss of progress comes that drop in motivation and, of course, all the good neurotransmitters that come with that, serotonin, oxytocin and dopamine, because you are not moving, feel like you're not moving forward. Now, at this point, I just want to make a distinction between two models that you may have heard of. That's Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which comes from way back in psychology, and Tony Robbins' six core needs. I mean, you may have heard of these two. I'm going to put these two side by side for a little while because Maslow says that the highest form is self-actualization. Now, before he passed away, Abraham Maslow revisited his hierarchy of needs, and this was never communicated through psychology, but he wanted to change that self-actualization to actually the generative human being who gives to other people. And it's not about self-actualization, it's about helping others to self-actualize. And he wanted to make that change, but it never got communicated. So we're stuck with Maslow's original hierarchy of needs. But if you map that one across to Tony Robbins' six core needs, which is very helpful when you're going through something and you're not feeling great, and you want to find out why you're not feeling great. So the six core needs are really simply, they start with certainty, so you need to have a certain amount of certainty in your life to make sure that everything's not going to, you know, go bad and your house is not going to fall down and you're going to have a secure job. But then you also need like variety to kind of offset. They're all paradoxes, right? So certainty and uncertainty, you need a balance of those two things in life. So I'd lost my certainty about running. I'd lost something that was a central part of my life was suddenly gone. And my variety, I had so much variety through running, through different trails, road, beach, track, different races, training with different people, all of that was suddenly gone. And it became coffee chats or phone calls to catch up with people or things like that. So if you look at that certainty and uncertainty, I lost so much certainty in my life through my running. I wasn't sure when I could run again. I wasn't sure how long the injury was going to take. I'm still not sure. I wasn't sure if I'm ever going to run again. We can get to this one later. Then variety. I lost all these beautiful running I was doing, people I was meeting, races I was getting a chance to go and see and do. So they're the things that I lost in my life. Instead of scoring 9s and 10 out of 10s in each one, I was scoring 1s and 2s. And then going to love and connection, and then the opposite of that is significance. So they're the next two needs. Love, connection is one, and then significance is the other. I'm just going through these quickly because these are good to map out in your life if something's not going real well for you. So love and connection. I lost a lot of connection to running friends, running community, connection to nature is huge for me. And, you know, I wasn't out walking. I wasn't out cycling. So many people tell me, for goodness sake, Rob, just buy a bike. I wasn't out doing swimming because we're not friends. And I lost that connection and the love through, you know, connection with friends and running buddies. And then significance. Of course, I'd fallen off the pinnacle of my career as a runner. The most significant I'd ever felt as a runner in my life, I hit in end of 2022 and then, you know, throughout 2023. And right when I was at my best and feeling like I was at my best and feeling like I'd finally broken through all the things that were holding me back for so many years, and I've finally broken through them all and released all those ropes and shackles, and I was going to fly, right? And then, boom, I didn't fly. I fell. And that significance went from a 10 out of 10, like I finally reached my potential. What else can I do? Where else can I go? This is going to be amazing. Let's raise $120,000. Let's run across New South Wales. Let's do all these amazing things now that I finally realize what I'm capable of. And then I got stopped, and that significance dropped from 10 out of 10 to a 1 or a 0 out of 10. And so that was so now I'm not scoring very high on the 6 human needs. The last 2 human needs are the need for growth and the need I've actually drawn a blank on the last one because I didn't prepare this. It's just something off the top of my head. Growth. And is it spirituality? My apologies. I will come back to that for you in another podcast. But was I growing? Absolutely not. I didn't feel like it. And again, it's all my perception, right? You might say, but yes, you were. Yeah, okay, that's great. Thank you. But my perception was I wasn't growing. I was going backwards and I didn't know if I was going to get back to where I was or if I'd reached the pinnacle and now I'm on the way down. And then all the aging questions comes in. Rob, you're 47 now. You know, how long can you maintain this for? You peak too late and your chance is gone. And all the self-talk that goes around this loss of the growth in my life. And so, yeah, I lost all of these things so quickly and it was like I was scrambling to work out what was happening. And it's taken me all these months to really put this puzzle piece together. Creativity. So I work out my life when I run. And not every run. Sometimes I have a beautiful clear mind and I can listen to the birds. I can feel the air in my skin and I can hear my footsteps. Other times my mind is crazy and I might be out just for an hour. I'm out for an hour run and I'll leave with an overthinking, over-chattering, so busy mind, telling me he should be doing this, and you have got to do this, what about this, and don't forget this, make sure you do this, and this person needs this, and this person needs, and it's like, well, and then I'll come back, and I'm like, oh, it's all sorted, I know what I need to do, and I sit down, and I prioritize, and then I get it done, and that is the gift that I've realized that running does for me, in being able to sort through my thoughts as I'm running. And I don't know whether it's the time I'm out there or the endorphins that I get or being connected to nature, or if it's a collection of all these things, having a different perspective because I'm away from the work environment. It just helps me to sort through everything that's going on in my crazy, overthinking, anxious brain. And it just gets down to what's important, of what I need to focus on and what I need to just let go. And that was lost. So, of course, if you imagine my overthinking, anxious brain without my self-therapy sessions, daily self-therapy sessions, it just became overthinking, overthinking, overthinking. And, of course, with overthinking comes underaction or inaction, not inaction, but less action. And then with less action comes less confidence. And then with less confidence comes less dreaming big. And you can see where we are not going to a good place. So that was a huge thing for me. So creativity, most of my podcasts I actually come up with on a run. And I'll somehow, my brain sorts them into structure and I'll get home and I'll write it out and then I'll research it over the next few weeks and then I'll deliver it. And but all of these beautiful strategies that I didn't realize that running gave me were gone from my life. Efficiency. I think I kind of touched on this, but the simple way to say this is my life works better when I'm running. Everything just works better. I feel better about myself. My life's structured. I'm a better communicator. I'm a more enthusiastic father. I'm a more connected partner. I'm a better leader at work. I've got a clearer mind. And I'm on when I'm running in my life. And I didn't realize that until I wasn't running in my life. Simplicity. The more I learn about me and my life and all this running mindset stuff, the more simple we can keep things, the better. And running helps me keep things simple. I grab a pair of shoes and I'm out the door. And I don't have to really, luckily, Martin Fry's done my program for me, so I know what I'm doing. I don't have to think about my session. That's what I love about having a coach. You have a smarter person, a more experienced person who knows what they're doing. They've got the big picture. They've got your back. They can see where you're at, and they're like, do this. This is what you need to do today. And if you don't do that, it doesn't matter. Do something else, but this is the ideal one. So it's simple, and there's no overthinking. And that simplicity then translates into the way you make decisions and way I make decisions in other areas of my life. Don't overcomplicate it, guys. Let's just get this done, right? let's just keep this simple. And then the freedom that comes, you give other people when you keep things simple, especially as a leader, when you can be clear and simple, and that gives people confidence in themselves to not overthink things. But I was going the other way. Because I didn't have that. I wasn't making things simple. I was making things more complex. I should do this or this. And let's have a look at all these options. But instead of looking at the options and choosing one, I'd overanalyze and overanalyze and overanalyze and overanalyze. And I wasn't keeping things simple. So the simplicity that running gives to me, that transfers across all areas of my life, again, was no longer there. I'm just going to scan through these to make sure I haven't missed anything, because a lot of these come from my morning run and also from help from Pete Davies, who I really want to honor on this podcast because he's helped me get this out. I was lucky enough to go to Canberra last year and run with the Running for Resilience crew, Matt Breen, Ben Alexander, down at the dock in Canberra, in Kingston. If you get a chance on a Wednesday afternoon, or they also do another run, check out their website, Running for Resilience. And what those guys have built down there is a running community around understanding the link between running and mental health. I was lucky enough to run with them when I did the Race Across ACT last year, and they've been with me ever since in my thoughts, because I now understand how I use this running for resilience in my own life. Now, part of that is is my work stress. So as a firefighter, I do get exposed to horrific and critical incidents on a regular basis. And of course, when you've got your running in life as this beautiful fabric that just spread all through my life, and it's something that I know is there, and I work through my thoughts and I work through critical incident in my head, and all of a sudden it's gone. So that, and over the summer we had some critical incidents, and I did not deal with them very well. And that I know is because of all the things we've spoken about in this podcast, not having that structure, that platform, that base platform, that no matter what happens in my life, I'm going for a run. Yeah? That's a real solid platform to fall on. And if you don't recognize that in your life, that is one of the core things that running will be giving you. Everything in your life can go to crap, but you're like, I'm going for a run because that's what I do, and I'm doing it because it's good for me and because I'm going after this thing, or I'm training for this thing, and it's the thing that you can hit that platform, and it gives you a little bit of foundation even when things seem really hard, and that's what the running does. But for me, I didn't have that foundation, so that really affected me again when I wasn't eating, I wasn't sleeping, and I lost that coping mechanism. And I didn't, here I am, I get a bit emotional, but I didn't want this to be a therapy session, but I'm hoping that you are getting something out of this for yourself of what it might give you. So big shout out to Matt Breen, Benny A, down at Running for Resilience. You guys are legends and you're helping so many people. So Pete's asked me a couple of questions, which I am going to refer to. Basically, did I ever have a thought that I was never going to be able to run again? And I'm going to say absolutely. And if you've ever been injured for a long time, I know you've had that thought. And it's like, what is this it? Is this it? And the worst thing I think that for me was I didn't break a leg, or I didn't do an ACL, or I didn't snap my ankle, or something that's like, bugger, you're going to be out for 2 months, right? It wasn't that. It was this niggling tendonitis. It was a couple of torn muscles. It was tendinosis, which is the degradation of the tendon, and a couple of other things. It was nothing that seems that sinister, but has just gone on and on and on and on and on. So that was harder for me to deal with than being told, oh, you know what, you got COVID, maybe have a couple of weeks off and you can come back. Or, yeah, you've done your ACL, mate, I'm sorry, it's a season. You're going to be out for the season, but let's get you in the pool and we'll get you rehabbed and you'll be right for, you know, pre-season training. There was no definite end point to this injury, and it was like, I guess it's like that race. It's like doing a backyard ultra, but on your own, and no one tells you where the finishing line is. So I did have those thoughts about maybe this is it for me, because if this is not getting fixed after, this is not getting better after 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, then where is the finishing line? When will it get better? And I've had physios tell me, you know what, we don't really know with tendonitis. It might just take a while to run its course. And that's kind of helpful, because it implies that there's a finish, but your brain might not see that finish, and it might not understand that this is going to get over. So what did I think? Was this the end? Yeah. And was this had I hit my peak, and was I on the way down? And then it becomes, well, what do I do with that? Do I back my, how do I set a dream big goal? And I know aging athletes all face this. What is my next big goal then, if I'm on the so-called decline? And these are all the thoughts that I had. How do I go after something big that's not as big as what I used to go after in the past, but it's still big for me now? And will I be okay with running this slower time for this race? And how do I build more growth into my running that's not around either times or distances or something? Where's the growth? And these are things that I'm still exploring, because I'm still in this spot. So yes, Pete, I definitely had that feeling, and that day will come. And where I'll have to make that decision. And for me, the place where I got to is I want to share what I know to help people become better runners and to enjoy it more. And that's why I'm doing the stuff that I'm doing. And that's why we're about to release the mindset course that I've been building for the past couple of years and putting it out there so everyone can get access to all this stuff in a way that's simple and practical, and you can work through it to make sure you get all this stuff for yourself. So Pete's other question was, is running a crutch for me? And he kind of asked that tongue-in-cheek, and I think he said something like, by the way, it's okay if it is. And I would say the crutch is, it's a very basic way to put it, but it's all of these things that I've spoken about today. It's all of the structure, the confidence, the dreaming big, the creativity, the focus, you know, the self-improvement. It's the connection to others. It's the confidence. It's feeling like I'm growing and giving. Contribution. There's Tony Robbins' six core need, growth and contribution. And so as you notice, if you're a long-time listener, I start making podcasts. I did one interview with Claudine in January and then this one at the end of March. And I've been pretty frequently doing them every 2 to 3 weeks for the past couple of years. So my creativity, and that's my contribution to you to help you become a better runner in person, and that all dropped away as well. So yes, it's a crutch, but it's more than a crutch. It's like my legs. It's not just a crutch that I'm hanging on. It's like all of these things that underpin who I am as a person and what I can do as that person. And I never knew any of this until it was taken away from me through an injury, and I get to unpack and learn all this. And that's that old Stoic philosophy, the obstacle is the way. I never would have learned this if it wasn't for the injury. So how grateful am I for this 8 months? How grateful am I to understand now that running gives me all of this and more that I haven't seen and more that I'm yet to see, and I'll unpack after this, after I press stop and after the next few weeks and months go on. But this has given me that real chance to understand what running gives me, and I really hope that you've got one or two things out of this ramble that will help you understand what it gives you. Because it's more than just running. And when you can understand, and for you it might be it's more than just swimming, or it's more than just cycling, or it's more than just whatever that thing is for you, that central platform in your life. It's what that gives you. And if you can really become conscious of that and then hold it so dearly to your life and realize that you're better because you do this thing, and you give to your family, you give to your community, you give to your work and your business because you've got this thing in your life. So thanks for sticking with me to the end of this. I really hope that if you are going through something like I've been through, there is hope. And that's the one thing I wanted to end this with. The thing that I didn't have for so long, I was falling down this injury slide, hoping I was going to hit the bottom and bounce back. But what I've only just realized is that there's a core belief that I didn't have built in, which was, I am going to come back from this. And I didn't, I had that, but every time something happened where my injury worsened or didn't get better, that core belief was shattered. And I was like, am I going to come back? And then I'd say to myself, you're going to come back better and stronger, Mesa. It's all right. And then I wouldn't. And then I was like, what do I do with that? So then I'd say it again and again. And then I'd pick the next race and I'd say, this is it, mate. This is it. We're focused on this. And then I didn't. And it came to that point where I had to accept all of the things that I couldn't control. And I had to accept, I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know how long. I'm going to keep doing what I can do. My rehab, my stretching, running, better running form, all the other things I'm doing around running. But I had to accept, and I got to that place that I couldn't control when the injury was going to be healed or ready to start training with. And that's the power that I found, was being okay with not knowing. And so if you're in that place and you don't know, work on that. Work on, I don't know, and it's okay. I'm still good enough and I'm still worthy, and I don't know when this is going to, when I'm going to be ready to X, Y, Z. But I got to that place, and that was freeing. That was freeing. And from there, I've been able to understand all of this. Yeah. Right. And just to finish that off, I still believe I'm going to come back, and I'm working on that. So thank you again for listening. And as always, hope you got something out of it. It went a little longer than I expected, but you stuck with it to the end. And in the next few weeks, we'll be releasing the Mindset course, which I'm so excited about. And I'll be telling you more about that if you'd like to come on board. We'll probably run a pilot program, and then we'll release it for everyone to come on board. And it's really going to help you understand your whole mindset for running and help you really, really, really reach your potential as a runner and as a person. So thanks again, and looking forward to the next podcast already. I'm pumped and I'm back. Thanks so much. Thanks for listening to the Mindset for Runners podcast. I hope you got something practical and useful out of this podcast, or something inspiring to help you get out for your next run. If you have a question about Mindset for Runners or athletes in general, please email me at robmason.run@gmail.com, and I'll answer your question on an upcoming podcast. And if there's anybody you know who could benefit from the information I share in this podcast, please share it with them. See you next time.